We're in the second week of a series we've entitled Moment by Moment. Last week we looked at a promise that was made by Jesus himself. 40 days after he was resurrected, he appeared to his disciples and he said this, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Although Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he wanted his followers to know that he would be with them, that he would be sending the Holy Spirit to guide them and give them the words when they needed them. And did he ever? In Acts chapter 2, Luke records the Holy Spirit giving Peter these words. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, told them, and all who are far off, that's us, that we would receive the gift of his presence. Turns out his presence was not going to be momentary after all. He would be with them and us, moment by moment. It makes sense, doesn't it? After all, the primary theme in all of Scripture is God with us. God sent the clearest message when he sent his Son. Remember this? "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. It was in his very name. God is with us. And for some, this is a very comforting promise. For others, it can be a bit disconcerting. Not because you don't want to encounter this personal, present God. It's not that you don't want to experience this life-changing transformation. It's just you're not sure if you have. You hear others talk about 24/7 worship, a deep prayer life, a deep-rooted faith. But maybe all that leaves you feeling is a little like, I don't know, like you missed a class somewhere, or like you slept in and missed the secret to life. I can relate. Somewhere in my mid-20s, I found that my prayer life was drying up. It felt stale, like I was having the same conversation with God over and over. I would bring my request. I thought they were pretty good requests. But it just felt like something was missing. I knew God wasn't hiding from me, but sometimes it felt like it. I thought, well, I must be doing something wrong. Then I thought, wait a second, can't be me. I mean, if the church would just, or if the preacher would just, or if the worship team would just, I would say, I'm just not feeling it. And the truth is, I wasn't. I was reading my Bible, I was going to church, I knew the songs, but there was a nagging hunger that told me there was more. Not more to do, but more of God to experience. Do you know that feeling? Do you know that hunger? Do you sense there's more to encountering this loving, life transforming presence? That's where I was. I had that hunger, and it was about that same time that I would find a way to satisfy it. And I'll tell you what that is next week. No, I'm kidding. I want to share with you right now a practical way how you can have a deeper encounter and a deeper experience of God. In other words, I want to share with you how you can live present to the God who is with you. Say that with me. Live present to the God who is with you. See, I believe in the midst of this pandemic, as hard as it is, we've also been given a gift. Think about it. So many distractions have been taken away from us. The noise has been turned down. The idols have been taken down. We have an opportunity like never before to live in the presence of God like never before. The question is, what will we do with the time? A.W. Tozer, in his classic, The Pursuit of God, he says it like this. He says, "A spiritual kingdom lies all about us, enclosing us, embracing us, all together within reach of our inner selves, waiting for us to recognize it. God Himself is here waiting our response to His presence. The eternal world will come alive to us the moment we begin to reckon upon its reality. But sin has clouded the lenses of our hearts that we cannot see the other reality. The world of sense triumphs. The visible becomes the enemy of the invisible, the temporal of the eternal. And every man must choose his world. This is why we feel this eternal thirst. It's because we have been given an eternal soul, and no matter how hard we try, the things of this earth will never be able to quench an eternal thirst. That thirst points us to the only way, to the only one who can satisfy it. So, the question remains, how? How do we live present to this God who is with us, or as Tozer put it, living more fully in the eternal world that's more real than the visible world? Here's where things began to change for me. I will forever be indebted to my mentor, Lynn Anderson, who began to teach me how to encounter God through the Psalms. I began reading the Psalms and it changed everything. Well, I didn't just read the Psalms. I began praying them. I began memorizing them. I didn't have the words. So I began borrowing them from David, Solomon, Asaph, and Moses. And here's the thing, I already knew a few of them, mostly the happy ones. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all of the earth. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Clap your hands, shout with joy. Those are still some of my favorite songs. And don't get me wrong, I'm all about some shouting with joy or clapping my hands. But there were times, that's not how I felt. At times I felt distant from God. But this time, instead of blaming God or anyone else, the Psalms gave me a path to prayer. I would pray Psalm 63. God, You are my God. I search for You. I thirst for You, like someone in a dry, empty land where there is no water. Through the Psalms, my prayer started becoming more real and raw before God. Not because I was praying scripture, but because I was finally getting honest. Honest with myself and honest with God. So how do you live present to the God who is with you? Well, pray the Psalms to, number one, get honest. I think one of the reasons why many Christians feel distant from God is because we're not honest. I don't mean cheating on your taxes or cheating on that final you didn't study for. I mean, that's bad and you shouldn't do that. But what I'm talking about is emotional honesty. Sometimes we feel like God is hiding from us, but if we're honest, we're the ones hiding. We hide our true emotions and our true self. We think we need to clean ourselves up before we can come to Him. And the tragedy is we don't take it to the only one who can do anything about it. But we still have to do something with it. For some of us, we just stuff it. We think if we stuff our emotions down deep enough, long enough, they'll just magically go away. But instead, what happens is the pressure builds up like a volcano. We all know what happens when enough pressure builds up. Look out. It's not pretty. Some of us don't stuff. We vent. And some of us, we don't vent. We drown out our emotions with Netflix, video games, pills, pornography. We do all these things to satisfy our thirst, but we just walk away thirstier than ever. And we wonder why. I believe that God gave us the Psalms to remind us to get honest. we're not so good at confession. Well, let me say that this way. I'm not so good at confession. But the Psalms gave me a pathway. Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. And then look at this in verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. We don't have to stuff, vent, or drown out our emotions. The Psalms are a clear message from God. He says, bring it to me. You know, since this pandemic hit, I've heard it said, we're all in the same boat, but we're not all experiencing the same storm. We see this in our homes. When Governor Abbott spoke last week, all six of my family, we gathered around the TV. And when he announced that school would remain closed for the remainder of this school year, I had one that was a yes. I had one that was a okay. And then I had two that just kind of quietly walked out of the room. The next day, Alicia and I went out for a walk. We passed one of our neighbors, but we could tell that she was not just out there for exercise. This mom was walking to keep her sanity. We stopped and talked across the street. She said, I've done pretty good so far, but for some reason, and then she just stopped, got a little choked up. She didn't have to say it. We understood. Maybe that's where you are. If so, take it to God. And when you do, take a psalm with you. There's several to choose from, but may I suggest Psalm 22? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. I wonder if the beginning of that psalm sounded familiar. That's the psalm that Jesus quoted while he was hanging on that cross. The greatest reason that I can think of to pray the Psalms is that Jesus did it. In his moment of deepest, darkest desperation, he prayed to his Father with this psalm. You know, sometimes I wonder when Jesus went on the mountainside, what was it that he was praying? There's a pretty good chance that he was praying one of the Psalms that we have available to us today. Now, please hear me. Nothing that we experience compares to what Jesus experienced. What he endured for us is beyond imagination. He was crushed by the weight of our sin. But these Psalms, they remind us that God cares what we're going through. Class of 2020, God cares that your prom dresses never made it out of the plastic. He cares that you never got to break in that baseball glove. He cares that you didn't get to say bye properly to some really good friends. He cares. And to those of you who have lost loved ones due to this virus, maybe you couldn't even attend the memorial service, God cares. Maybe you're in isolation right now, having tested positive. Maybe you're worried. God cares. How do I know? Well, look at 1 Peter 5 and 7. It says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Peter tells us to give all our worries and cares to God, but the Psalms tell us how. See, I can be honest with God. When I'm afraid, I find a psalm. If I'm angry, a different psalm. Anxious, joyful, whatever you're feeling, there's a psalm for you. And it will give you the words for prayer when there are none. Not only do the psalms help us get honest, they help us to get focused. This has been a disrupting, and in many ways, a disorienting season. What do we do when we get disoriented? Well, we go to God's Word to get reoriented to what is true, even in the midst of the trouble. This is what worship is all about. We preach to ourselves. We remind ourselves of who God is and what He has done. I want you to listen to this Psalm, chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalmist doesn't bury his head in the sand. He does not pretend that everything is good, but he believes that God is. He's preaching. He's preaching to himself. He's preaching to his soul. He declares it. We will not fear. Though the earth give way, we will not fear. I love that we have the Psalms to point us to worship, to help us get focused. This is what God's Word does for us. It points us to the truth, regardless of how we feel at the moment, regardless of what we think is happening or who we think we are. Points us back to the truth of God's redeeming love and transforming presence, moment by moment. This is why we've challenged ourselves to read through the Psalms over these next few weeks. You can find the reading plan on our Oak Hills app. It's easy to find and download. Now, please hear me. I'm not looking to burden us with one more thing to put on a to-do list in an already stressful time. But I believe this is what you need to do if you want to live present to the God who is with you. And let's be clear. God does not need us to do anything for Him to be with us. His presence is fully a gift of pure grace. But remember these wise words from Dallas Willard. He said, "Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning." You see, we cannot earn God's presence, but our effort is important to more fully experience the grace of His manifested presence. For those of you who are more visual like me, let me see if I can illustrate this. Many of you come to a sink just like this many times a day. In fact, maybe you're coming to it more than you used to wash your hands. Well, the thing is, I don't know how this water gets here. I don't know all the plumbing. I don't know how far it's traveled. All I know is that if I position my hand within the flow of the water, then I can receive. The water is like the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus meant when He said this, "Anyone who believes in Me may come and drink. For the Scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from His heart." Let's be clear. God can give the grace of His Holy Spirit anytime, anywhere He wants to. But He's invited us to participate with Him. He's given us the gift of His Word and the gift of prayer as an invitation to live present to the God who is with us. I just need the faith to just place myself in a position to receive. The Psalms can reveal a lot about us, but like all of Scripture, friend, it's not about us. It's there to help us to get honest and to get focused on Jesus who came to this earth and who will return soon. I'm praying for hearts to soften so that the word may enter. I'm praying for repentance of sin. I'm praying for honest confession leading to honest prayer and worship. I'm praying for eternal thirst to be satisfied, for our hearts to turn back to God as we turn back to the practice of meeting Him in His Word. I'm praying for God's church to get focused for the revival that is to come. As the rabbis say, the Word rests upon our hearts until our hearts are broken enough for the Word to enter. If your heart's been broken, I'm praying that you will allow God's Word to enter. Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection, has taken away your sin, and He has cleared the path to the Father. And even more so, the Holy Spirit is with you every step of the way, moment by moment, to guide you every step. And your church is here to help you as well. You see, He's provided the water. All you have to do is, by faith, just place your hands open to receive. Put yourself in a position to receive God's great gift of grace through Jesus. If you want to receive Jesus or just connect about this message, I want to invite you to text NEW 210-585-2585. We would love to hear from you. Someone will be getting in touch with you. Let's get into the Psalms to get honest and to get focused so that we can guide all people to follow Jesus moment by moment.